Well, we are in a praying life, and we're going to be in looking through chapters 17 and 18. I'd encourage you, don't quit your reading. Jump right on it. The chapters are short. And here's the thing, when you jump right on it, it has a chance just to kind of cook. So, you know, if you read it the first week, if tomorrow morning you get up and read the next two chapters, then you've got time to process. And I think sometimes as we, just the same way in Scripture, sometimes we just don't process, we don't meditate, we don't really think about it. So we're going to be walking through it. We're going to jump into a discussion quickly at the tables, but the chapters kind of focus in on this idea of surrender. And the writer taking the chapter 17 specifically out of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And we know the Lord's Prayer, specifically in verse 10, it is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And I think we have to keep in mind the context. In Luke chapter 10, it was specifically in a response to a question that the disciples, or a request that one of the disciples had for Jesus. And he said, "Teach us, would you teach us to pray?" And it's, the Jews, they all knew how to pray. They prayed at least three times a day. So I think that our speaker last week made comment about that. But there was something different about Jesus. And so they said, "Well, would you teach us how we ought to pray?" And so Jesus responds to them, "Pray in this manner." And then in verse 6 again, "Pray, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now here's the conversation I'd like to have around the tables, and you can kind of pair up if you're a little short on the tables, not enough people, so you can have the conversation. For you, thinking about this, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, what do you believe he had in mind, or what was Jesus wanting his disciples to understand in this phrase, "Your kingdom come, your will be done"? What are the implications of that, and what do you think Jesus was wanting his disciples to see or understand in that, teaching them that in that prayer? So let's have that conversation for a few minutes. All right. So let's have some responses from your tables. They're all pointing to you.
I put my back to you so that
you put your back to me. See what happens when you ignore? Okay, so what was some of your responses at your table? Are you muttering? What'd you say?
We were listening to Fred's comments over there, and we decided to piggyback on them.
Wait, I can't hear. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. No, we were listening to the table over there and coming up with some ideas opposite, kind of.
Like, oh, you're cheating.
Yeah, we were cheating.
From we all were just wise one. In your cheating, what did you learn?
We were just talking about the fact that we want to control our own lives instead of give it to God, and that we have to, well, I can't say that word because that would be cheating if I said that word. We have to give it over to God and allow Him to control our lives instead of us, and that it's okay to pray for other people to change, because it was saying in here that said we don't want to pray about change in others because it's too controlling and too hopeless, but we still can do that and we should do that, because there's nothing wrong with praying for people to become more like Jesus.
Hand it to Keith. Keith, are you going to be your spokesman or Fred?
Well, the word she doesn't want to say that they took from us is we went from the other side. We just figured, well, you know, if you think about it, right, when you're praying to God, you're saying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, as you're praying to God, there's actually two wills, isn't there? There's your will and His will. So either you can pretend, "Oh, yes, Lord, your will be done, but I'm going to do what I want to do." Or you can do what Fred says to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the mic.
What about your table?
Go ahead,
are you the spokesman, David?
You're
volunteering?
So the question was, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'll go to the first half of that sentence, your kingdom come. At the time, the Jews were wanting independence from the Romans. So basically, Jesus is reminding us that it's his kingdom to be the glory, whatever. It's not ours. He's not here to throw up the Romans. He's not here to ward off the enemies of America or Britain or France or Israel, Middle East, whatever. It's his kingdom above all, not any mortal nation.
Okay. Anything else there?
What did you add?
I didn't add anything.
So do you want to, what do you want to add to the table?
So it's the half of it.
So wait, we just got to qualify. So apparently when we go to the tables, we're going to have the tallest person at the table speak and then the shortest person at the table speak.
It works that way. So what happened? So the second part of what he said is actually the will. So it's what happened. We were talking about the me movement that is actually imposing the society. And what happened, it's all about me. So you're going just for gratification, self-gratification, time by time. They want to get that. And that includes the hope that is actually, if you don't have the hope, you wouldn't wait for the will of the Father. Most of the time, that's what's happening because I want it. It's me. It's about me and not about God. So because I need to have that. So the will, that's what being bypassed because our heart is wrong with the intentions. The heart is actually rebellious. The heart is actually greedy. The heart is just selfish. So that's what's happening. So the heart really needs to be right for the will of to submit our will to the Father.
Where are you at? Okay.
So what we discussed in this table was that when we say the kingdom come is to the Lord to rule our hearts and to rule us. And to basically surrender your will to his.
Okay. So, you know, in a broad sense, I think that there are two things happening. You know, there's always, throughout the scriptures, there's always this, there's always two meanings in a lot of what Jesus says. And I think here, in a broad way, I believe he was telling the disciples, pray that God's kingdom, as Alexander said, God's rule and reign, that God's rule and reign would come to earth. Pray that. Pray that God's will would be done broadly. But I think when the disciples are asking him, Lord, teach us to pray, I think there's a narrower view to that for them in their own life. I think it is for God's kingdom to come in their lives. And like Alexandra said, it's really for God's rule, God's reign in my heart. For him to be king over my life. I need that. And that I need his will to be done in my life. And I think it's interesting, too, that the way that we're going to look at this a little bit further, but just you see the progression of the prayer, but he's telling them, pray first for God's rule and reign in your heart and your life. I mean, if Christ isn't Lord, there's no way you're going to fulfill his will. You're just not going to be able to do that because your heart isn't going to be tender toward or open to or surrendered to God's rule, God's reign over you. So it's going to be really tricky for you if you're not really wanting Jesus Lord over your life to be able to do the will of Jesus in your life. Does that make sense? And so what I thought was interesting here in the book, he uses the example of marriage with this. You know, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husbands, right? And so here's the tricky part is, how often are we good at that? There's this conflict between the will of the Father and self-will, what I want. And so how often do we find ourselves when we are... I think that Richard made a comment. He goes, yeah, you know, sometimes... you know, you just kind of read over that, or you just kind of pray over that without kind of reflecting on the implications of it in your life. Because we are walking through this prayer, and what is the implication of the prayer for us? What are we really asking? We're asking, Father, would you just rule over my heart and my life? Well, how's that working out with you and your marriage? How's that work out in relationships in the body? You know, here's the rule of God. Love one another. What is the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two greatest commandments. Upon these, all the law and the prophets hang. So how do we even do with that? And I think that what he's getting at and what we need to understand, he's just pressing in on the reality of what we've all discussed. It's really about God's kingdom. God's kingdom above all. It's God's will, God's kingdom above all. And so, for me, I look back at this and I just think, how often has God challenged me? And the reason he can challenge me well in this way as far as a marriage is because it's close. We're always close. We're always together. It's not like if I have a grief with someone else, I can kind of avoid them. How many of you ever tried to do that in your home? You know, I don't care how big your house is. 1,200 square feet, 3,500 square feet. They're around. You know, so the idea of reflecting sometimes on how we doing the will of God in our life in just this closest of relationships that we have. How are we doing it really having God's rule and reign in our hearts and lives? How are we doing it that? Now, you know, the thing is I've taught so much when we're doing pre-marriage counseling or marriage counseling, you know, the whole idea is, you know, so here's God and here I am and here's my spouse. And if I am aiming at wanting to honor God with my life, to do what he wants, to surrender to his will, moving toward him, and my spouse is doing the very same thing, what's that do? It brings us together. It brings us together under the Father. If I'm not willing to do what the Lord wants, you know, I just need to really quit praying this prayer, right? Because the prayer is, when we pray the prayer, we can't be mindless. And at our table, we discuss this. If he's asking us to pray this, if he's teaching us to pray this, then here's the deal. It is possible. See, it's possible to have God's rule and reign in our heart. It's possible for us to be surrendered to what God is wanting for our life so that we can fulfill what God is wanting out of our life. You know, the beautiful thing about that in a marriage relationship is it's like... So here's my spouse, and she's a vessel, right? And if I'm doing what God wants, and I am loving my wife as Christ loved the church, I'm like pouring into her life. And as I'm pouring into her life, and I keep pouring into her life, it's like her life overflows. And when her life overflows, it's almost like there's this tube that comes around, and it comes back into my cup and pours into my cup. And so I know that it's tricky sometimes when you're first married, it seems like, in the first however many years you're married, and you're really applying this, husbands loving their wives. I can tell you right now that sometimes what's going to happen is that the wives will take advantage of that. That's natural, right? It's natural. And if the wife is always just honoring and submitting to the husband, how many guys in here, if your wife's just following around, whatever you want me to do, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you're going, oh, this is a deal, right? All right, well, hey, you know. Yeah. Well, then this and this and this and this. But, you know, I mean, that's only going to go on so long. If you're not reciprocating with loving her, that's not going to go very far, very long. So, again, the idea of this prayer is notice that prayer is about surrender, but it's not surrender to your spouse. When in the context of him talking about this and marriage relationships, when I'm doing this, when I am praying this prayer, it's not about surrender to Denise. It's not about surrender to the will of Denise. Because Denise's will could be very different than what God wants. And don't go telling her all that because yeah, she's not here, so I can get by with this. No, I'm surrendering and I'm asking, I'm surrendering to the Father. That's who I'm surrendering to. So I shouldn't be concerned about what my wife is, I shouldn't be focused on my wife and her responses to that. I should be focused on my surrendering to the Father. Because what that does is, somebody brought about it in here, it's when I do that, it produces change in my life. Right? So if my life's being changed, I'm where I need to be, then as the head of the home, then there's this possibility that everything else can, God will just click stuff into place and everything else around me begins to shift. Did you have something to say, Tom? Okay. Any comments about any of that? How are you doing at that, Fred? Look at, he's going, I'm tired. I just wanted to nap. I came. You doing okay with that? Yeah. Should I ask your wife? She's getting on. Don't ask my wife.
I can't think of the verse, Tom. You know it. What's that verse where it talks about that a believing wife does the will of the Lord, and her either unbelieving husband or maybe her just husband is kind of falling away. By her being obedient and doing what the Lord asks her to do, you could win your husband back to the Lord. I can't think of the verse.
Peter, isn't it, Tom?
But in other words, like what you're saying is, as an individual, if we surrender to the Lord and do what the Lord desires us to do, those around us are going to see that. And if they are believers also, that in itself would probably be kind of convicting to them, and they would start surrendering their life to the Lord. Because like you said, you know, you can't surrender your will to your spouse because, well, one thing, we're not called to do that. And the second thing is, we don't know if our spouse has the correct will, but we know God's will is correct for our life. So if we align ourselves with God, and the person we're married to, as a Christian, aligns herself with God, then God's going to work together in our lives and do whatever God desires us to do. But yeah, so you can never go wrong. It's like loving your enemies, right? You know, if you love your enemies, you show the love of God to your enemies. That's going to affect them too.
So the natural progression of a praying life somewhere along the line is going to be getting to that point of surrender. You know, we can't think that we can just ask and ask and ask and God is just going to give and give and give if we are not in line with what God is asking of us. I've said it so many times, there's this way that God has laid out. And in that path that He has laid out, there is His promise, there is His blessing. It's there. So in the book, as he just keeps progressing, teaching us about this idea of relationship, prayer is about building relationship. It is about building a relationship and knowing God and knowing ourselves and knowing what God wants. See, at some point, we're going to have to say, well, okay, if this is what God wants, and these are the things that I need to do. Think about it. So you guys are going to go, you want to go somewhere. Maybe it's your mom and dad are going to take you somewhere. But for that to happen, they want you to, you know, hey, well, you know, if you want to do that, it's fine, but you need to clean your room and you need to mow the yard and you need to whatever. You know how that works. They always do that kind of stuff. They try to get a little bit more out of you, right? What is going to happen if you just say, no, I'm not going to do it? Probably not go. All right. I like it. You lay down the law and you stick to it, eh? So, I mean, the natural response of all this is, look, at we often are throwing up things, God, I want, God, I want, God, would you? And all along, he's going, well, here's your part. And so we need to keep in mind that there is our part. So when we're praying this prayer, I think it's interesting to understand that the key is this key of surrender. Now think about that word, surrender, because it means to cease resistance. That's kind of good. It means to defer to or submit to or give way to. So who or what are we going to submit to, give way to, or surrender to? It's the Father. It is what the Father is wanting in our life. It's what God is wanting, God's will for us in our lives. So that's what we are, that's who we are surrendering to, our Father in heaven. I mean, how many times is it that we don't see it this way? You know, they always, people say, I need to pray for patience. Well, don't pray for that because you'll be given the opportunity to exercise it. And in the same way, here we are as children of God, we're given opportunities to exercise God's rule and reign over our life. And then we refuse. So we move into this idea, there's this self-will that kind of takes over instead of God's will. Now, when I was looking at this, I got to thinking about the prayer as a whole. And so when you look at Jesus teaching his disciples to pray, and you look through the next verses after verse 10, I see this. I see this, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done here in my life. He's teaching his disciples to pray that. And then what follows? And I'm just going to use some key words to this. What follows is, so Father, here I am, I'm asking for your provision. Give us this day our daily bread, right? I'm asking for your forgiveness. And then I'm asking for your grace. I'm asking for your leading in my life, your protection and your deliverance in my life over the evil that tries to overcome me. So, you know, the prayer, just thinking about it, Father who is in heaven, acknowledging who God is, he's supreme, that his rule and reign not only takes place in heaven, but here on earth in my life. And for that to happen, well, I'm going to need what I need to do that from heaven. I'm going to need his provision. I'm going to need his forgiveness, his grace, his leading, protection, and deliverance. And so when you think about that phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, what's that look like? So how do you think things are done in heaven? What do you think heaven looks like? You know, he's praying, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done, your rule and reign, your will, Father, right here, just like it is there. So what is it like there? Some comments?
It's perfect.
Perfect?
Yeah,
without blemish?
Nature of man right now, it's not so.
Okay. Anybody else? Alexandra may comment, that's why we're going to need new bodies. Because if we try to take this to heaven, that's not going to be a good situation. Anyone else? Thoughts? Yeah, praising God all the time. You know, in heaven, they know who's seated on the throne. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no way that the devil's going to say, hey, he's not really God. He can't really do that. Right? So, in heaven, things are done according to God's rule and reign, His will, implicitly, fully, completely, unreservedly. Things are done that way there. So this prayer of petition that the earth would be a place where the will of God is done as it is in heaven tells us something about where we're living, right? It's not being done on earth yet. And I say that because one day it will. One day it is going to happen. I always enjoy watching the news at varied times, or I hear different people comment about different things, and I giggle. Because I go, yeah, just so you know, that's not going to happen that way. Yeah, just so you know, you will surrender. Just to be clear, you are going to at some point understand that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is going to happen. Right now, with what's going on in Israel and stuff, you're going, you know, you're messing with God's people, really messing with God's people. That's not really a good situation. Ultimately, God loves His people. And ultimately, God is going to stand up for His people. We read in Revelation that all the nations are going to come against Israel. And what's God going to do when all the nations come against Israel? Huh? He's going to stand up and He is going to defend. So, this idea then, thinking about this, think about it narrowly in your marriage, think about it broadly in the body, and then more broadly in the world around us. When we are praying this prayer, and we are surrendering to what God is wanting in our life, and we are extending what God is giving in our life, what we are indeed doing is we are extending the kingdom of God. I mean, when Jesus was here, He was extending the kingdom of God to earth, to those who are around Him. And for us to think that we can not and God be honored in that. So there's always this challenge. I mean, really, that what needs to happen is the invisible kingdom of God needs to be manifested through our life in all of our relationships. And I can tell you right now, none of us have this down fully. All of us are striving in some manner toward it. And so as we are looking at this chapter and we're looking at these verses, I would like just to encourage us that as we continue to think about this and we continue to pray it, we're really continuing to pray about it in a fuller understanding of what God is saying. So that when we are challenged or when we're brought to this place where we get to the opportunity to allow that to happen in our life, we do allow that to happen in our life. Sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes it's scary for certain reasons. Well, if I go ahead and do that, then what is going to happen there? But just allow God's kingdom rule and reign in our life, and then what God is wanting will take place in your life, and that's always a good thing. So the only way that the kingdom of God is going to be manifested in this world before Christ comes again is that we manifest it living as citizens of the kingdom of God, or like citizens of the kingdom of God, citizens that are allowing God's way and God's will through our lives. Amen? Okay, this is what I want to do now. thinking about this is at our tables, this is kind of how I want us to close up our time together. Somebody find the verses in Matthew chapter 6. And then I'd like us at our tables to pray through this verse by verse. Now this is, I don't want you to just go, and one person, you could have one person pray a particular thing. Let's, for instance, that if Tom started, and then Sid, and then Scott, whatever. The prayer that I'm looking at is not for us just to recite this. Where it says, our Father which art in heaven, it would be more like, Father, we do know that you're in heaven. We do know that you rule and reign over all things, that you're creator of all things. And so, Father, help us to acknowledge that you're just not Lord of our life, but you're Lord of all things. So kind of in that way. When it comes to, Father, that your kingdom come, your will be done, that it would sound a little bit more like in your prayer, Father, we really need you to rule our hearts and our lives. And I'm asking for our table, for those seated at our table, that you would just really press upon that upon our hearts so that we would be willing to surrender, that we would be willing to step into doing what you want. So that's kind of the prayer that I would like us to pray. And so how about, Tom, why don't you choose or just find out who wants to pray a particular verse. And then in this group back here, and let's just end our time. We're going to pray for our tables. Now, here's what I want us to keep in mind that we miss, I think. Here's the Lord's Prayer, and he's saying this. Give us, forgive us, protect us. And so he's wanting the church to pray this for the church. So we're going to do that at each of our tables. We're going to pray this, and when we're done, then we can be dismissed, okay? So let's begin that.